This is the weekly roundup of the John Lothian News Daily Update for the week of October 26th, 2020.
This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 26, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. We lead off JLN today with a story that I wrote. The title is Peter Gwynn, longtime industry colleague and mentor, passes away. It is with a heavy heart I report that former Cargill Investor Services executive Peter Gwynn has passed away at the age of 70. Peter was the chairman of the advisory committee of John J. Lothian & Company, a good friend and mentor to me and to many in the industry. He died at home on Saturday after collapsing in the morning. He was alone at the time as his wife Stephanie was at their son's home helping with a new grandchild. He had not been ill. Gwynn was an early supporter of what became the John Lothian newsletter. It was Bernie Dan who relayed the news of Gwynn's passing, and it was Dan who first introduced my newsletter to Gwynn and fellow CIS executive Jan Way. Gwynn and Way both reached out to me after reading my newsletter for several weeks, inviting me to lunch. They wanted to know who I was and why I knew so much about the industry and the markets. Gwynn became the prime salesman for JLN as he used my newsletter as a calling card. When he called on a prospect, he would ask them if they read JLN, and if not, he said he would get them on the distribution list. At one time, I had over 200 CIS employees receiving JLN in the early days because of Peter's pitching. Gwynn became more than a supporter of JLN. He became a friend. He lived just a couple of towns south of me. He was a member of the same denomination of Christian church as me, the United Church of Christ. He had a summer home not too far from the spot in Michigan where my family went to church camp. There's also a story, Remembrances of Peter Gwynn. These are remembrances from industry colleagues. The first one is from Bernie Dan. My good friend and colleague for 35 years, Peter C. Gwynn, suddenly passed away on Saturday, October 24, 2020. My thoughts and prayers are with Peter's family, especially his beautiful wife, Stephanie, during this difficult time. Peter was a good man and cared deeply about his family and friends. He was a mentor to many and was always trying to help those in need. He made us all laugh. His infectious humor was priceless. His keen intellect, thirst for knowledge, and broad interests enabled Peter to live an interesting and fulfilling life. To read the rest of these remembrances, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments from today's Hits and Takes section of JLN. JLN staff is mourning the passing of our friend and mentor, Peter Gwynn. We are joined in this grief by his colleagues at Cargill, Penson, MF Global, and many other firms where he touched people's lives. Personally, I am just numb from the loss. We have created a memorial reflection page on johnlothiannews.com and already have reflections from Bernie Dan, Jan Way, Chris Malo, Carl Gilmore, and Tony McCormick. If you would like to share a reflection for us to publish on this page, please email me at johnlothian@johnlothian.com. Thank you to all who have already expressed sympathy for Peter's passing on social media and via email. It is surprise deaths like this that reinforce my drive to capture the stories for the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the path to electronic trading. Peter Gwynn shared how he once went into the Eurodollar pit to fill an order for a Cargill Investor Services hedge fund client, something he rarely did. He wanted a better price and started to offer rather than buy the order. He was spoofing the market, as many brokers would do. But this time someone took him up on the offer and he got backwards on the order. He ended up chasing the market higher to fill the buy order. He explained what he had done to the customer, and the customer took the sale trade loss for Peter. That was the last time he did that, and that is how spoofing was handled in the pit. The FIA announced Boca 2021 will be virtual on March 16th to 18th. Due to the coronavirus, this has been the best course of action for the FIA to take. They intend to move back to in-person conferences as soon as it is safe to do so. The FIA has released a major clearinghouse data initiative, CCP Tracker. See the John Lothian newsletter on johnlothiannews.com for the link. The Wall Street Journal reports that COVID-19 is surging at weddings, dinner parties, and group events. I know it is tough, but think hard about going to group events. We had one new donation to the JLN Markets Wiki GoFundMe campaign from JLN Advisory Committee member Diane Saucier. Thank you, Diane, and all who have given and all those who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. The Chicago Tribune is reporting that billionaire Ken Griffin, in battle with Governor J.B. Pritzker over graduated income tax amendment, has upped his stake to $53.75 million to oppose it. Here is some additional JLN original content. We have a video interview. Hong Kong Exchange's Kevin Rideout talks about MSCI move to Hong Kong Exchange from SGX. Hong Kong and Exchanges and Clearing Limited recently signed a long-term agreement with MSCI to list their indices in Hong Kong rather than in Singapore at SGX, which had listed the contracts for decades. John Lothian of John Lothian News, that's me, interviewed Hong Kong Exchange executive Kevin Rideout over Zoom last Thursday to ask him about Hong Kong Exchange's plans for the MSCI index suite. I asked him how the deal had occurred, the audience Hong Kong Exchange is targeting for the products, and why these indices are important to global investors. To watch the video, go to johnlothiannews.com. The spread this week with Matt Rabel is titled A Freight Train of Volatility. This week on the spread, CBOE is set to acquire bids, TT branches out to South Africa, and more. To watch this video, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. The FIA announces Boca 2021 virtual, March 16th to 18th. FIA will host its annual Boca conference virtually from March 16th to 18th. FIA remains committed to providing forums both in person and virtually for the industry to meet, discuss topical issues, and engage with peers, regulators, and clients. However, due to the ongoing safety concerns about the coronavirus globally, which most experts expect to continue for at least the first half of 2021, FIA will not hold an in-person event in March. We intend to move back to our regular industry-leading in-person conferences as soon as it is safe to do so. Until then, FIA virtual events will continue to provide a critical platform for dialogue and engagement. We look forward to working with the industry to deliver a virtual Boca that measures up to the quality of thought leadership programming you've come to expect from the Boca conference. The FIA also released a CCP tracker, quarterly data on risk exposures at Derivatives Clearinghouse. The CCP tracker is designed to provide greater transparency into the amount of risk in the global clearing system and the financial resources available to protect the system from losses. Using the public quantitative disclosures published by derivatives clearinghouses on a quarterly basis, the CCP tracker contains a set of charts and tables that allow users to compare several key metrics for each quarter going back to the second half of 2015. The COVID pandemic is making everyone more susceptible to scams. This is a story from Bloomberg. Thieves have used fake calls, fake text, fake puppies, fake arrest warrants, and more to steal millions of dollars this year. There's one group of people for whom 2020 couldn't have been more perfect if they scripted it themselves. Scammers. A world ravaged by COVID-19 has all the elements long identified by researchers as the key reasons why fraud thrives in the aftermath of disasters. Emotional upheaval, financial distress, and the rupture of regular support networks. The New York Post has a story, the baseball card market is thriving thanks to COVID-19. Forget the anxiety of the stock market. Savvy investors are looking to Mickey Mantle. Baseball cards are a safe, reliable way to grow your investment portfolio, according to a new report the Daily Mail has reported. And it's all about blue chip names like Yankee legend Mantle. My sons inherited my stepbrother-in-law's baseball card collections, including some real gems. This will make them very happy. The Washington Post has a story: the U.S. and Europe are losing the coronavirus battle. President Trump's White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, made a telling admission. "We're not going to control the pandemic," Meadows said Sunday on CNN's State of the Union, suggesting that the spread of the coronavirus was a fait accompli and that containment was not a central plank of the White House strategy. On Friday, the United States recorded a single-day high of more than 83,000 cases. The next day, it was just 39 cases short of the previous mark. The BBC has a story: COVID-19, U.S. pulls plan to give early vaccine to Santa Claus. The U.S. has canceled plans to offer Santa Claus performance early access to a coronavirus vaccine in exchange for their help in promoting it publicly. Here are the top three most read stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was John Lothian News: how we think and what we think about Peak Six is about to change, a story that I wrote. Second was the New York Times: when libertarianism goes bad. That story was originally titled "How Many Americans Will Ayn Rand Kill?" Third was the Chicago Tribune's Battle of Billionaires: Griffin slams Pritzker push for graduated income tax amendment in an email to employees. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 27th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. Here are today's comments from the hits and takes section of JLN. The Women Are Wild are holding an online auction and spooky trivia event to support their Next Generation Women in Finance Scholarship fundraiser. The auction started on October 16th and culminates the night of the spooky trivia night on October 28th. The group notes 100% of the proceeds go to the Next Generation Women in Finance Scholarship. The trivia teams will be randomly formed. The auction URL is in today's JLN on johnlothiannews.com. Trivia night, where costumes are recommended, will be held from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Central Time on October 28th. The Hedge Fund Association is holding a webinar on the LIBOR transition on Thursday, November 5th at 12 o'clock p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. The speakers will address questions including: what project approaches are others adopting? What are exposures being identified, and which products are being used to replace LIBOR? What are the pain points others are seeing? And how is everyone reviewing the mountains of legal contracts they need to get through? The registration link is in today's JLN on johnlothiannews.com. The Federation of Euro-Asian Stock Exchanges, in cooperation with CCP12, a global association of CCPs, organized a special workshop for FEAS members and FEAS friends on October 20th, 2020. The workshop looked at how to start a CCP business. Drawbridge Lending Digital is holding a webinar on October 28th at 1 p.m. Central Time with an outstanding group of speakers to talk about CFTC guidance for FCMs holding client virtual currencies. The webinar will be led by DBL's Matt Lyle, the chair of the Global Digital Asset and Cryptocurrency Association, or Global DCA. Featured speakers are U.S. CFTC Commissioner Brian Quintenz, Galaxy Digital President Chris Ferraro, backed head of institutional markets Laura Edelman, Philip Capital Vice President David Klotz, and EDF Man Capital Chief Risk Officer Stephen Hood. You can register at johnlothiannews.com in today's newsletter. FT Partners Research announced the publication of their 115-page third quarter 2020 FinTech Insights, which provides a comprehensive review of global FinTech deal activity with analysis across private company financings, IPOs, and M&A statistics. Thank you to Monica Mulvihill of Marex for her donation to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Monica is a savvy industry veteran who also happened to be in my graduation class from Glenbrook South High School in Glenview, Illinois. Thank you to Monica and all who have given and all those who are yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. The link is on johnlothiannews.com. We've added to the Remembrances reflection page on johnlothiannews.com. The additions come from Jeremy Grant, Ed Tilley, Jim Carruth, Ryan McNally, Tom Scanlon, and Kelly Brown. If you'd like to share a remembrance, please email me at johnlothian@johnlothian.com. Over the weekend, my weight loss reached 31 pounds. When I shared my dieting discipline before, Tom Asher reached out to me to share something he likes to have for a healthy breakfast. He is a customer of a small dairy operation in Vermont called Gamble Garden Creamery. They offer a yogurt competitor called Skyr. I liked what Tom sent me so much, I ordered more for myself. You can check out Gamble Garden Creamery online at www.gamblegardencreamery.com. Thank you, Tom, for the recommendation. From Suzanne Cosgrove, NASDAQ is hosting a panel discussion and fireside chat on the economics of the 2020 election on Thursday, October 29th from 11:30 a.m. to 1:20 Eastern Time. The panel hosted by CNBC's Guy Adami will include Jim Sullivan, Chief Macro Strategist at TD Securities, and Phil McIntosh, Chief Economist at NASDAQ. A fireside chat with NASDAQ CEO and President Adina Friedman is at 12:40 p.m. Eastern Time. The registration link is on johnlothiannews.com in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN from the Financial Times. COVID herd immunity theory dealt blow by UK researchers. Testing of more than 350,000 people shows that antibodies fade within a few months. The proportion of people in Britain with antibodies that protect against COVID-19 declined over the summer, according to research that adds to evidence that natural immunity can wane in a matter of months. The number of people with antibodies fell by a quarter from 6% of the population in June to 4.4% in September, according to the study of hundreds of thousands of people, one of the largest of its kind to date. So much for that theory. Here's a story from the Atlantic Journal-Constitution. Loeffler and Sprecher's $31 million year. Senator outspends all 20 opponents combined. When Kelly Loeffler was appointed to the U.S. Senate in December of 2019, the wealthy financial services executive made it known she was prepared to spend at least $20 million of her own money to win election in 2020. Senator Loeffler said she was going to spend $20 million of her own money. She, with her husband, ICE CEO Jeff Sprecher, has loaned $23 million to the campaign and given another $8.5 to strategic allies. Here's a story from the Los Angeles Times, a little bit offbeat. Investor Bill Gross accused of blaring Gilligan's Island song on loop to torment neighbor. A dispute between Bond King Bill Gross and his next-door neighbor over a $1 million outdoor sculpture has devolved into police calls to their Laguna Beach mansions, multiple legal actions, and allegations that the billionaire investor blared the Gilligan's Island theme song on a loop at all hours to annoy his neighbor. That's not the music I would choose to annoy a neighbor. That is, It's a Small World from Disney World. Try getting that out of your head. What's been driving U.S. equity? Insights from FTSE Russell, CME, and iShares. This is a recap of a webinar from last week of FTSE Russell. FTSE Russell recently hosted market and derivatives and ETF experts from FTSE Russell, CME Group, and iShares in a special webinar focused on U.S. equity market outperformance in 2020 and drivers behind the underlying differences in performance between U.S. small and large cap stocks. In the webinar for clients and the news media, moderated by FTSE Russell Director of Product Management, Catherine Yoshimoto, the group shared perspective on the key drivers behind the 2020 performance of the Russell 1000 and Russell 2000 indices, investor use of the U.S. equity index-based ETF, and derivative tools to address opportunities and manage downside risk. There's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Pandemic fatigue is real and it's spreading. Collective exhaustion with coronavirus restriction has emerged as a formidable adversary for governments. From the corridors of Washington to the cobblestones of Paris, the coronavirus is roaring back and authorities are ramping up restrictions again. This time around, however, everyone is tired. Hospital staff worldwide are demoralized after 7 months of virus-fighting triage. The wartime rhetoric that world leaders initially used to rally support is gone. Family members who willingly sealed themselves off during the spring lockdowns are suddenly finding it hard to resist the urge to reunite. Take a deep breath. Find a way to find the energy to keep on keeping on. Here are the three most read stories from yesterday's JLN. Our most read story yesterday was people sharing their memories of Peter Wind. He will be missed. You can read them at John Lothian News, Peter Wynn Remembrances, and if you have any memories of your own to share, please email me at johnlothian@johnlothian.com, and we will add them there. Second was Crane Chicago Business, Regional Resiliency, discussing what Chicago as a city needs to do to thrive after the pandemic. Our third most read story was the sad news from John Lothian News. Peter Wynn, longtime industry colleague and mentor, passes away. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 28, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. Here are today's comments from the hits and takes section of JLN. FIA President and CEO Walt Lucan personally invites you to join FIA for the Virtual Futures and Options Expo this November 10 to the 12th. Expo V for virtual brings you 3 days of programming, including keynote sessions with University of Maryland vaccinologist Dr. Kathy Neusel, SEC Commissioner Hester Pierce, revered Silicon Valley journalist Kara Swisher, and CFTC Chairman and Chief Executive Heath Tarbert, as well as one-on-one interviews with exchange leaders from CBOE Markets, CME Group, Eurex, ICE, and NASDAQ. Expo V features a robust exhibit hall with more than 20 exhibitors and 10 fintech startups in the Innovators Pavilion. This is your opportunity to connect with the Clear Derivatives community. Learn more at fia.org/expo and register. John Mulaney is going to host Saturday Night Live next week. He is a friend of Bobby Otter, the son of CBOT member Bob Otter. John also worked one summer on the floor of the CBOT for Bob as a clerk in the soybean pit. He has been a writer for SNL and has a short skit he did about playing the song "What's Up, Pussycat" 21 times on a jukebox in a restaurant. Bob Otter shared this story with me after reading the Bill Gross Gilligan's Island theme song yesterday in JLN. I would like to suggest that John Mulaney would make an excellent choice for a comedian the next time the CME Group holds the Pinnacle Awards dinner. Tom Price, my former employer at the Price Futures Group, Inc., and the legendary George Garrow, Mr. Metals, are the latest to donate to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Tom is now retired in South Carolina with his wife Nancy. George is a managing director, financial advisor at the Senior Consulting Group at RBC Wealth Management, among a myriad of other responsibilities. He was inducted into the FIA Futures Hall of Fame in 2019. Thank you to Tom and George and to all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by contributing to our GoFundMe campaign. Reminder, the Women Enlisted Derivatives Gives Back Trivia Night is tonight. Auction hours have been extended to Friday, October 30th at 5 p.m. The online auction is live and open to everyone, and 100% of the proceeds from the auction and the trivia night go to fund the Women in Finance. You can register at johnlothiannews.com, look in today's newsletter, and to find out more about the auction. That was reported by Sarah Rudolph. Here are more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. From Bloomberg, the algorithm that could get you back in the office. How open is too open? The employers reduce outbreak risks after bringing workers back. New tech tools can juggle schedules and map office hotspots. In January, Nick Yurek was ready to reveal the product he'd spent 3 years developing. He's the co-founder of Maptition, a small Georgia-based firm that started in 2020, prepared to sell its new analytical tool that maps the floor plan of an office on a mobile app, shows employees in real time where they are sitting. The idea was that this could help workers maximize their time with colleagues. The formula begins like this. If there is an airborne pandemic, don't go to the office. That's my comment. Another story from Bloomberg, Turkey bars health workers from quitting as COVID deaths near 10,000. Turkey's government barred public health workers from quitting or retiring as a surge in coronavirus cases brings the death toll to near 10,000. The ban applies to doctors, nurses, and other health workers in the public sector and is meant to ensure an uninterrupted fight against COVID-19. The Hürriyet Yet newspaper reported Wednesday, citing an order from the health ministry. I say draft them in the army, then you can shoot them for disobeying an order. Here are your top three most read stories from JLN yesterday. Our top story Tuesday was a tiny bit out of left field. The Los Angeles Times investor Bill Gross accused of blaring Gilligan's Island song on a loop to torment neighbor. Second was The Guardian's How Does One of the World's Biggest Pork Farms Go Bust During a Boom? With some interesting insights into the politics of the pork industry. Third was Loeffler and Sprecher's $31 million year from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 29th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. We lead off JLN today with a story I wrote, Steptoe and Johnson LLP makes good use of pandemic time with Financial Services University video series. Matthew Culkin of Steptoe and Johnson LLP figured out a new way to help his law firm during the coronavirus pandemic. When he came back to Steptoe after a tenure at the CFTC, after taking the spot previously occupied by now author Eileen Flaherty as director of the Division of Swap Dealer and Intermediary Oversight, he was impressed with how many different pieces of the firm, quote, plug into the financial services industry, unquote, he said. He started thinking about how to communicate that to their customers and colleagues in the company around the world. He came up with the idea of a financial services university consisting of a series of video interviews of colleagues across the organization. He wanted to help both understand the opportunities to leverage the vast skills of Steptoe in financial services. To read the rest of this commentary, go to johnlothiannews.com. Secondly, we have a story from Suzanne Cosgrove of John Lothian News. FIA data underscores explosive 2020 growth in equity commodity volume. Global volume in futures and options is on track for a banner year in 2020, with growth fueled largely by equity derivatives amid unparalleled levels of volatility. Equity derivatives saw a total of more than 7 billion contracts traded in the third quarter, according to data compiled by the FIA. Total volume for all exchanges tallied 11.8 billion contracts for the third quarter, compared with 8.6 billion in the third quarter of 2019. For the year 2020 through September, the volume tally was 33.7 billion contracts. Looking at the top five exchanges by total volume, the FIA ranked the National Stock Exchange of India as number one with about 6.1 billion contracts traded in the 9 months from January through September 2020, followed by B3, which ranked as number two with 4.5 billion contracts. CME Group's exchange came in at number three with a combined total of 3.8 billion contracts. ICE was number four with 2.1 billion, and CBOE Holdings was number five with 1.9 billion contracts traded. To read the rest of this story, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments from the hits and takes section of JLN. I have a correction in my reflection about Peter Wind. After talking with his son Christian yesterday, I found out that Stephanie Wind, Peter's wife, was home at the time Peter collapsed. When she found him, she applied CPR and called 911. Peter could not be revived. My deepest apologies for the error. It has been corrected in the story and the audio podcast version of the story. We had additional reflections of Peter on johnlothiannews.com. The reflections are from Michael Cahill, Tony Drake, Doug Ashburn, and Chris Haymar. If you have a reflection about Peter Wind and his impact on your life, please email me at johnlothian@johnlothian.com. Our GoFundMe campaign exceeded $10,000 yesterday. We've received more donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign, including a $1,000 donation from Jerry Corcoran and a $500 donation from Martin Mosbacher. Others contributing included Thomas F. Chalata and Earl Combs. Jerry Corcoran is the CEO of RJ O'Brien, an industry-leading non-bank futures commission merchant. Martin Mosbacher is the president of Lansing's Intermarket, a firm JLN has worked with for many years. He is also a member of the John J. Lothian & Company Advisory Committee. Tom Chalata is managing director at RCM Alternatives, and Earl Combs is a trader and CBOT member from a historic Chicago Board of Trade family and member firm. Thank you to Jerry, Martin, Tom, and Earl, and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. The FIA has issued a white paper on the impact of pandemic volatility on CCP margin requirements. The paper found that central counterparty CCP margin requirements rose dramatically during the pandemic. The FIA calls for improvement to margin models to reduce liquidity risk. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. JLN published a podcast by Suzanne Cosgrove titled U.S. Election Seen as Possible Pivot Point for Cannabis Legislation. Initiatives to legalize marijuana are on the ballot in five states this election day, giving voters the chance to move the industry towards wider acceptance. In addition, several Senate and gubernatorial races are seen as key to unlocking stalled legislation. JLN talks with Carrie Jordan, co-founder and managing director of Supercritical, about how the vote is expected to impact the cannabis landscape. To hear the podcast, you can find it on johnlothiannews.com. FIA issues white paper on impact of pandemic volatility on CCP margin requirements. The FIA today released a white paper that examines the dramatic increase in margin requirements at derivatives clearinghouses during the first quarter of 2020 due to the increased market volatility related to the pandemic. Although the clearing system performed well during exceptional volatility and trading volume, the increase in margin requirements created a large and sudden demand for liquid assets that contributed to stress in the financial markets. FIA views this episode as an important test of the clearing system, and in this paper puts forward several recommendations to improve margin models. US Today has a story, GOP Senator Kelly Loeffler, not familiar with Trump's infamous 2005 Access Hollywood tape. Senator Kelly Loeffler claimed Wednesday night she was not familiar with President Trump's now infamous 2005 Access Hollywood tape, where he described sexually assaulting women. Loeffler, who is in a tight re-election race, gave a vague answer when local reporters asked Wednesday if she was aware Trump had been recorded talking about groping women after saying previously she never disagreed with anything Trump has said or done. Forbes has a story, the pandemic is affecting the mental state of health of rich more than the poor. A recent Axios Ipsos poll found that high earners and the highly educated showed sharper declines in emotional well-being during the pandemic. New research forthcoming in the Journal of Applied Psychology corroborates this finding. A team of psychologists led by Connie Wanberg of the University of Michigan found that the two defining features of socioeconomic status, education, and income were both associated with greater declines in sociological well-being over the course of the pandemic. The Wall Street Journal has a story, a COVID-19 outbreak at Wisconsin pushes college football towards the edge. A contender for the college football playoff, the Badgers have been sidelined by the virus. It's a sign of how hard it will be to make a championship game. The fragile foundation of college football in 2020 is at risk of buckling in Wisconsin, where a COVID-19 outbreak on the number 9 Badgers is showing how little room for error the sport has in attempting to complete its pandemic season. College football has already been in near chaos thanks to the fact that major conferences have taken different approaches to staging a season. The conferences started play at different times, have different protocols for dealing with the virus, and have had to rearrange schedules on the fly to stay on track. Here are the top three most read stories in JLN yesterday. Our top story Wednesday was The Guardian's How Does One of the World's Biggest Pork Firms Go Bust During a Boom? Second was a repeat from Tuesday, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Loeffler and Sprecher's $31 million year. Third was the Los Angeles Times investor Bill Gross accused of blaring Gilligan's Island song on a loop to torment neighbor, which was our top story on Tuesday. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 30th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. We lead off JLN with a couple of stories from John Lothian News. First is from Suzanne Cosgrove. Election 2020, tight races set stage for continued period of volatility. Here's how the presidential election 2020 is unfolding in its final days. A massive early voter turnout is outpacing that of 2016. An estimated 11 million more Democrats than Republicans have requested mail-in ballots, and both President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden spent Thursday barnstorming the state of Florida. Quote, "We recognize this is a highly contested race," unquote, said NASDAQ CEO Adina Friedman in a webcast interview on Thursday. Speaking on a panel, The Economics of the 2020 Election, sponsored by NASDAQ, Jim O'Sullivan, chief U.S. macroeconomist at TD Securities, noted the final outcome of the race offers a number of potential pros and cons for the economy. To read the rest of this story, go to johnlothiannews.com. The second story is by Sarah Rudolph. FIA Chicago Fed panel addresses the lack of diversity in U.S. financial markets. The low number of African Americans in high positions in the financial markets is shocking, but not surprising. And not much progress has been made, though not for lack of effort. What does the landscape look like, and what can be done about it? One big problem is that African Americans are not represented in the agencies that regulate the financial industry. Chris Brummer, a law professor at Georgetown University, researched data on the number of blacks who have served as federal regulators. He spoke on a panel Thursday on diversity in the financial markets hosted by the FIA and the Chicago Federal Reserve. Quote, "Financial regulation has a direct impact on the lives of African Americans," unquote, Brummer said. Quote, "It determines how trillions of dollars in assets are regulated, as well as what companies should disclose, how investors are protected, plain language disclosure, and who gets financial assistance in times of distress," unquote. To read the rest of this story, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are today's comments from the Hits and Takes section of JLN. In scouting, there's a slogan, "Do a good turn daily." I have a request for you to do a good turn today. David Fisher, the former Chicago Board of Trade vice chairman and longtime soybean pit trader, is very ill with pancreatic cancer. He is weak, but very strong mentally. He is handling his situation with grace and realism, according to his office mate for more than 30 years, fellow CBOT member Bob Otter. I would like to ask you to send David an email greeting at lettersfordavid@johnlothian.com. We all need cheering up during this pandemic, but David is facing even greater issues than most, and there is nothing better to help lift someone's spirit than to hear from old friends, colleagues, and others sharing a message of care and concern. Julie Ross of Profit and Loss announced in a letter on their website that P&L is closing as a result of the impact of the global pandemic on their events business. This is a perfect example of the pressure that are on the industry's media companies. This is another reason to support JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign to help John Lothian News continue its mission to provide you with news and commentary and to capture the history of our industry. Speaking of the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign, we had a $1,000 donation from Nils Robert Pearson, a donation from Leticia Manos, and a second donation from Ray McKenzie. Nils Robert is the former executive chairman of Cinnober, who is now doing another fintech startup called Vermiculous Financial Technology. Nils Robert is a longtime friend of JLN, and Cinnober was a loyal sponsor. Leticia Manos is a talented communications and public relations executive with Eurex in Chicago. And Ray McKenzie is a rock and roll star and fruit company executive who has worked for the CME and ICE. He now works for Apple. Last night, I interviewed Andy Tan, director at Synergy Link Capital, in Singapore over Zoom and conducted an Open Outcry Traders History Project interview. This was my first interview of a Singaporean trader. Andy worked for Merrill Lynch on the trading floor, moved to ARB for them when the floors closed, and then in 2012 became an independent trader. Forbes has reported that Zoom is now worth more than ExxonMobil. Let that sink in for a minute about the future of the world. Sarah Rudolph reports that NASDAQ chief economist Phil McIntosh, who is quoted in Suzanne's election story above, has a blog post of his own on election 2020, What to Expect from the Markets, complete with graphs on sector performance after the 2016 election, implied volatility around elections, and more. You can read it on johnlothiannews.com by looking in today's newsletter for the link. Revolution CEO Mark D'Souza has stepped down from his role after 4 years. He will continue to serve the company as a member of its advisory board. The Chicago-based company said focusing on financing initiatives, Illinois dispensary expansion, and public policy issues. Revolution COO Dusty Stroyer and CFO Trip Murray will lead the company until a permanent CEO is named. A board member of the National Legal Cannabis Advocacy Group, the Marijuana Policy Project, D'Souza also served on Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker's transition team for agriculture that oversaw the state's cannabis policy. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From Profit and Loss, this is a message from Julie Ross, founder of Profit and Loss. Dear readers, Profit and Loss has weathered many storms over the past 21 plus years, including the tech bubble burst in 2001-2002, the depressed market environment following 9/11, and the global financial crisis of 2008-2009. But the current and ongoing global pandemic has caused challenges to our international events business that are outlasting our ability to continue operations. Second story is from Bloomberg News. Record plane loads of live hogs flown into China to boost herds. China is flying in a record number of pigs to improve genetics and boost productivity while rapidly rebuilding the nation's hog population after it was decimated by the African swine fever. Some 15,346 live swine worth $32 million arrived by air in the first 9 months of the year. Customs data show that's an all-time high, according to Genesis Inc., an international genetics company. The value jumped from $3 million in all of 2019, $13 million in 2018, and $21 million in 2017, the customs data show. China has also imported a record volume of meat this year to ease pork shortages. This is proof that pigs can fly. The World Federation of Exchanges has published their October issue of Focus. For October's issue, they are publishing a special edition in which they focus on critical role of one section of their membership, central counterparties or CCPs. CCPs are key to systemic stability, and the WFE as the global organization and voice for the CCP community is always seeking to deepen the debate and the thinking that surrounds them. Philip Capital CEO Lynette Lim has her letter from the co-CEO. What does the future look like? We think too much and we feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent and all will be lost. That's a quote from Charlie Chaplin in The Great Dictator. Dear friends, as Election Day draws closer in America and collective tension rises, those of us who work in the financial brokerage industry have to anticipate how the markets will behave in order to manage the risk of our customers who trade. It is always prudent to anticipate the worst, the largest possible move in the market, so that we are not caught with our pants down, figuratively speaking. If we expect large moves in the market, then we would take preventive measures such as asking for additional deposits from customers and/or imposing some limits on their trading, as well as standing by for extra credit from banks. Lynette Lim will be on a panel during Expo V that I am moderating about microcontracts. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Walmart pulls guns ammo displays in U.S. stores citing civil unrest. Retailer says move is a safety precaution, but customers can still purchase firearms and ammunition. Walmart Inc. has removed all guns and ammunition from the sales floor of its U.S. stores this week, aiming to head off any potential theft of firearms if stores are broken into amid social unrest. The retail giant, which sells firearms in about half of its 4,700 U.S. stores, said U.S. customers can still purchase guns and ammunition upon request, even though they're no longer on display. This is kind of like a curfew. If you've not gotten it done by 10 p.m., it's not going to happen. If you did not buy your guns and ammo until a week before the election, then you'd better have a plan B. A good weed whacker can be very helpful. Our Crypto Markets Wiki coin of the week is Maker. The security measures of government's token Maker, the digital token used by users of the Maker platform to vote on decisions that affect the entire platform, is being called into question again after a user caused a flash crash to manipulate a vote on the platform. The Maker Foundation made a post on the Maker's forum warning users about the issue. Earlier this year, another flaw in the Maker protocol caused users to lose millions of dollars worth of cryptocurrency deposited on the platform. Here are the top three most read stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was GOP Senator Kelly Loeffler. Not familiar with Trump's infamous 2005 Access Hollywood tape from Yahoo News. This kind of sounds familiar. I'm not familiar with Senator Loeffler. Have we mentioned her here in this newsletter before? Second was my story, Remembrance of Peter Wynn, longtime industry colleague and mentor, passes away. Third was The Guardians. How does one of the world's biggest pork firms go bust during a boom? That's a repeat from yesterday. Here are your Markets Wiki stats of the day. The site has 191,422,323 pages viewed, with 24,482 pages and 226,511 edits. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way that you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.